Today on the Great Destinations radio show, I'm in southeast Alaska, alongside the Inside Passage Waterway, on an island, and in its main town, a town called Ketchikan. Alaska certainly feels like nowhere else in the United States. There are no skyscrapers. Many buildings look like they're straight from a western. And there's massive mountains and forests. It's all green and unspoiled and has a different vibe.
It's a different lifestyle, to be sure.
There are walks and trails and tours where you're pretty much guaranteed to see soaring eagles or bears in the wild. There's so much space. In fact, across the state, there's 740,000 people in an area over twice the size of France. And you can't just drive across Alaska. Some towns like this one, Ketchikan, are only accessible by air or sea. In fact, if you have a car here, you can only go 15 miles in each direction before the road ends. That means the pace of life seems a little slower. There is an island vibe. Getting here is unusual. The airport is only a mile out of town, but it's on the other side of the waterway to the town. So when you land, you have to catch a ferry to the town.
That's possibly the most expensive boat trip I've had per second. $6 for 2 minutes crossing.
And another claim to fame.
Ketchikan's the salmon capital of the world.
My cabbie proudly told me it's the salmon capital of the world. You'll hear a lot about salmon in the next few minutes. Fishing brings many visitors to Ketchikan. I caught up with Michael Briggs of Alaska Sports Fishing Expeditions. He looks after the salmon hunters. There's a lot to catch.
In particular, the salmon fishing is extremely easy. It's not difficult at all. There's such an abundance of fish. I mean, I often joke that you could take a toothpick and tie it around a shoestring and drag it through the water and you'll catch fish in Ketchikan during the summer months. What we do, we get a lot of rookies. We'll put them through an orientation, teach them a little bit about operating the boat, how to rig up their gear, the different types of bait that you might use. And then, literally, they just pull around the front of the dock and start utilizing those techniques.
Have you seen the deadliest catch on television? Well, if you come to Ketchikan, you can board one of their vessels and talk to the fishermen featured on the show. Shauna Lee from AlaskaCrabTour.com says passengers will get an insight into the challenges of commercial crab fishing, like you see on the TV show.
It's like 700-pound crab pots coming up over the side, which most people would never have an opportunity to see otherwise. Some of them we let them hold. The king crabs and the Dungeness crabs, they're a little crazy, so we don't let the guests hold those. Then the guys do share a lot of their stories about their adventures and some pretty harrowing experiences that they've had in the Bering Sea. Some of them are, you know, funny, but most of them are very heartfelt. I've seen many a fisherman cry on the deck, telling about times that they almost killed their entire crew. It's a real Alaskan experience, and it's an opportunity for people to ask questions and see spectacular scenery, and it's untouched wilderness. It's breathtaking.
And she promises you won't get seasick.
There's little tiny islands that we're going in between, so the water is very calm. And also they're on a 107-foot crab boat. It's made to be stable in extremely violent seas. So when it's in calm seas, it's like you're riding in a Cadillac.
Now, you might expect seafood in Ketchikan, Alaska, to be fresh. I accepted an offer from the town's favourite seafood restaurateur, Chuck Slagle, to see how fresh it actually is as we bounced through the water in a steel skiff boat. My backside jumped off the seat and landed with a thud quite a few times.
Summertime and the living.
You can rent these boats and larger vessels from Chuck or go fishing with him. You can book through exclusivealaska.com.
And this type of skiff is pretty much what the kids in Alaska grow up in. 16, 18, 20-foot skiff with an outboard in the back.
Out on the water on the boat, the view of the steep mountains shrouded in mist was breathtaking.
What a nice place to spend the day.
We were off to intercept a fishing boat and take back the catch.
Don't let this guy drop the fish. He's from England.
Throw it in.
That would be safer.
Hey, you got a king.
Thanks, Don. I owe you.
Oh, no, you don't.
No, I owe you. Holy smoly, there's a good one. Thanks, Don.
Well, back at Chuck's restaurant, the Alaska Fish House, I had, honestly, the best fish and chips. Chuck is passionate about Alaskan food, as most locals here are, and his team will cook and serve what you catch.
Kind of ties it all together. You know, a lot of folks are not that connected to the ocean. Actually go catch their own fish and then have immediately served to them. A lot of people enjoy that.
fish canning is big business here. There are shops filled with shelves stacked with hundreds of tins of salmon. It's a souvenir item to take home. And it's not like the tin salmon you might have from the supermarket in Britain. It's much nicer. It's more like that vacuum-packed cooked salmon steak that you can buy in supermarkets. Russell Woodhouse.
It's against the law in Alaska to farm any fish. So everything we have here is all wild-caught. They travel well. You can keep them in the tin just like that, you know, for 5 years.
And one final fishy fact. If you want to see bears, there's a best time to visit Ketchikan. And that's thanks to the salmon.
Late August is the best time to come. That's when the pink salmon get into the creeks and the bears really come down to all the streams to feed on the salmon. So kind of mid to late August.
I did see a bear. It was a surprise. I was terrified when it stopped and looked me up and down, but kind of felt euphoric after it went away.
As long as I push the button,
okay,
it will take about a minute and a half to get down here.
Now here's a fun food idea. Ride the 211-foot funicular railway cut into the cliff face to access the Cape Fox restaurant. It's $2 per person, but you get it for free after you eat food there. This is the Great Destinations radio show. I'm in southeast Alaska, on an island in a town called Ketchikan, a small place which clings to a strip of flatland alongside the deep waterway that cuts between the mighty wooded mountains. Just a few minutes out of town, you're in the wilderness, and there's a rainforest, not tropical, but temperate. Walking, wildlife watching, kayaking, and beach picnicking top the locals' pastimes. Seriously, there are beaches in Alaska. They do have warm summers. It's not exactly Marbella, though. Our locals celebrate the annual rainfall. They get 155 inches. There's a rain gauge to mark this in the town centre.
We do have a rain gauge. It's a point of pride amongst the people because it is not for the faint of heart. If you are,
it's only rain.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a limit to how much rain a person can stand.
Well, just around the corner is the cruise ship port. It's a busy place. In fact, a million people will be decanted alongside the quay over the season between May and September from 466 cruise ships. 37-year resident artist Ray Troll says locals love Ketchikan's dual personality.
It's suddenly an international city. You know, you'll be hanging out and there'll be somebody from Israel over here and somebody from Greece over there and a bunch of French people, and the ships are in every day. And what's kind of cool too is that just about every night too, we have the town back to ourselves.
Ray sells t-shirts and they're one of the best-selling Ketchikan souvenirs.
I did a shirt in 1987, Spawn Till You Die. And pretty much without fail, year after year, ever since then, has been right at the top.
If you head to the Totem Heritage Center, you'll see many totem poles, both inside and out. Anita Maxwell showed me around.
We have here at the Totem Heritage Center about 34 pieces and parts, including full totem poles.
If you go to the center, you'll learn more about Native American culture. It's just a 5-minute walk from town and $5 to get in. Ketchikan has a seedier history. All those men, together in a logging town, wanted the company of women, and they could have it at a price. Creek Street was once a very busy area with that business. Today, the view provides the perfect Ketchikan postcard image. Red and cream and blue-timbered buildings line the wooded riverside. You can access these shops on a long wooden boardwalk, a jetty built on stilts because of the lack of space due to the mountains. And the interior of one of the former bawdy houses, Dolly's, has been preserved, according to guide Rene.
Well, back then, all the houses on Creek Street were brothels. This was the old red light district. And Dolly's house is the most special because she's the only girl on Creek Street who operated and ran this house by herself. There was 100 men to every one girl in town back then.
So you get lots of people coming to have a look around?
We do. We get a lot of people. Everything in this house is original from 1919 when Dolly bought it. She died in 1975. So a lot of history in here. It's like stepping back in time. Original wallpaper, trapdoors, hidden bars where they used to bootleg the whiskey in.
But is it kid-friendly?
Nothing a child shouldn't see.
Ketchikan's loggers provided the income for Creek Street's workers until 1954. Being men, they found a way to make their work competitive, and lumberjack competitions started. Throughout the summer season, visitors can sit in the covered and heated grandstand area to watch the hour-long Alaskan lumberjack show. It's where men throw axes, log roll, or speed climb. And the rate at which they're hauling themselves up the pole is incredible. Many of the performers are studying forestry. 6'4" Boone Shear tell me that his frame gives him additional strength and he needs to be fit for the 3, 4, or even 5 daily shows.
13 events. It's 3 chopping events. We do springboard, underhand, standing block chop. We also speed climb, log roll, boom run. We do 2 song events, which is the single buck and the double buck. And we also do a couple team events here, along with just some fun activities and a chainsaw carving.
Wow, you speed climb.
Yep, yeah, we speed climb. So we go up and down a 60-foot pole, and we have 3 sections that once we get to the top with our rope and gaffs, we have to cross the line with the top of our rope, and then we descend by kicking our feet out and bailing to the bottom and hitting the foam crash pad.
The show's MC, Short Stack Sally, whips the audience into a frenzy. If watching all that activity makes you want to have your own adrenaline rush, what about the zip wire? You stand on a small wooden platform in the trees and soar through the rainforest looking out for bald eagles or black bears. Tori Korn is from the Alaska Canopy Adventures team.
So you go from platform to platform along the treetops on 8 different zip lines. And so it's different views from each platform. You're a group with 8 or 9 other people as you go along. Great wildlife viewing. Spectacular scenery, and it's just a really unique way to see the rainforest. It just takes people kind of out of their comfort zone. It's not something you do every day. It gives people a real sense of achievement.
If you're going on the zip wire, there's no age restriction.
We've had people as old as 91 go through the course.
To reach Ketchikan from the UK, first fly Finnair for 9 hours from London to Seattle. We found returns in May next year for 540, and then take the 2-hour flight from Seattle to Ketchikan. That's around £110 return. More information at greatdestinationsradioshow.com.